Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3 and verse number 13 and Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26. As I said a moment ago, I'm glad that we have an opportunity set aside in the year where we can recognize ladies. Not just mothers, but ladies. Amen indeed. It's often said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. I believe that's true. Well, let's go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 13 and start our reading for this morning. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Unto the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Keep your finger here and go to Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26. And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, which was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, as we look into your word this morning, Lord, we pray that you would be with us. Lord, that you would bless us with understanding. And Lord, that our hearts would be lifted up to worship you for your great wisdom, your grace, and the great love wherewith you love us. For Lord, you planned all things, knowing all things and understanding all things. That Lord, the devices of the serpent, the devices of the enemy of our souls, would not overthrow us, would not foil your plans. But Lord, all that you've decreed and all that you've willed, Lord, you've brought to pass. And that's wonderful and great in our eyes. Lift up our hearts to worship you this morning as we ought to, as we consider an enigma. Lord, one that has caused so much pain and suffering in the world, and yet, Lord, in it is the great blessing of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn back with me, if you will, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 13. And before we consider that passage of Scripture once again, I want to bring up the well-known fact, unfortunate as it is, of Mariolatry, of taking Mary and putting her into a position, unfortunately, that she would never have placed herself in, and in so doing, so greatly distracted the attention of the world from the true gospel story. And we can understand on a human level why the Church of Rome might have done such a thing. Everybody knows that women are so much more approachable than men, so less likely to prejudge a situation, and far more likely to allow their emotions to rule over their intellect than possibly they should. All of that being a result of the fall, as we'll talk about in just a moment. But nonetheless, the idea of Mariolatry and taking Mary out of her true place and taking woman out of her true place distorts the truth of the Scriptures and causes even us as Christians to miss so much of the grace and wisdom of Almighty God. Well, there's a situation here in the book of Genesis which is not good. In verse number 13, the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" What a question. What is this that thou hast done? Is it a rhetorical question? No, probably not, but it is a question to elicit a response. What is this? Do you understand what it is that you have done? Elsewhere in the Scripture, we're given to understand, no, she didn't. But she'll bitterly come to understand it as the years go by. What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, why was she called woman? Because she was taken out of man. You've heard it so often, I need not repeat it, taken from the tenderest place closest to the heart. God designing that they'd not be two, but they would be one. What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. She speaks truthfully without guile or subterfuge. The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. I think most of us know that sin came into the world by one man, and death by sin, not by one woman, but by one man. Constantly in the Scriptures, there's a great difference put between sinning with a high hand and sins of omission, or sins of ignorant commission. God does put a difference. The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, verse number 14, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. If you know much about the Bible, you know that God never directly curses one. The curse has fallen upon the serpent, but by extension, the one that's behind the serpent, Satan, the devil, that malevolent spirit that put so much thought and effort into just how he would approach his nefarious mission. He sent some things. He judged aright. He didn't approach Adam first. He knew it precisely what he was doing. Verse number 15, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. Six thousand years of human history. I guess if you did a ratio and proportion on the tears shed in this world, it's probably 90% women. They do the crying and the suffering and bear most of the heartache of everything that goes wrong in this world. And man, there's plenty wrong. I'll put enmity or hatred, variance, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Pay attention to that. Not seeds, plural, seed, singular. Something very important is being revealed to Eve here, not to Adam, but to Eve. I'll put hatred between you and the serpent, and between your seed, singular, Eve, and his seed, the seed of the serpent. It, your seed, Eve, will bruise his head. But his seed, devil, will only bruise his heel. To whom was the plan of salvation first revealed? This is interesting, is it not? And wouldn't it have been wonderful if the Lord God had stopped there and what Eve surmised had actually taken place where Cain was that seed? Thousands of years of history have amply proved that he wasn't. He was of the seed of the wicked one. He was of the devil. No, we have verse number 16, unfortunately, where the Lord says unto the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Interesting that those two things would be linked together. You know why the Lord didn't make the woman the disciplinarian in the family unit? Maybe we're getting a hint here. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Why are those terms linked together? Do you suppose that Eve figured it out as she and her husband stood over the lifeless body of their son? Do you suppose that she hearkened back to the time when they were in the garden and the Lord God had spoken these words? Sorrow and conception. There's nothing to break a mother's heart like kids. It was true 6,000 years ago, and it's just as true today. Man, how we love our kids, but they're the one thing that'll always break their mother's heart. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. Some think this speaks of that moment of childbirth. No, I think it ties to what was said previously. Ah, the sorrow of a child gone bad. But it doesn't even stop there, does it? I'm not spending so much time on this, so much for the ladies. They already know this. Sometimes we men forget. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That was not the order before the fall. Male and female created he them and called their name Adam. They had an equal standing before God in all things. But now, there's been a fundamental shift, a sea change in the way things work. First, in sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and then your desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. You don't have to look very far to see the effect that's been produced in society, do you? Men look with amazement almost at women that keep crawling back to an abusive man, and they just can't seem to get enough of it. And they stick around until he has finally either killed them and killed their children, or until society decides it's had enough and tosses him into the slammer. And then she's the only one that's faithful to go and visit the bum every visitation day. She'd be the first one to smuggle him a file in, because she just can't wait to get some more of it. Isn't that sad? Eve, do you know what you've done? Do you understand what the result of this act of rebellion will be? 6,000 years and oceans of tears cried. And it's just the same today as it was when Adam and Eve were digging a hole in the ground to bury their firstborn son. Tell me, what's changed? Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. You know, even in the church, I hear men running around loosely quoting, "Wives, obey your husbands." But I seldom hear them quote, "Husbands, love your wives." Husbands, love your wives. If a husband loves his wife, she won't shed as many tears, but she'll shed plenty because of those kids. What a mess. Eve, do you know what you've done? I think after the Lord God got done explaining it to her here, she still didn't know. But she knew when she buried her firstborn son. 6,000 years of history it's been like this. And yet, in this dark cloud, there's a silver lining. Let's hearken back to verse number 15 just a moment before we go to the book of Luke. Put enmity or hatred between thee and the woman. I think women have a special appreciation of just how malevolent and evil a spirit the devil is. And between thy seed and her seed, again singular, it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. You know, the world is looking for a Superman to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Can't be George Bush because he's not smart enough. But somebody's going to come along. Do you realize that Satan is prepping a Superman, a world hero that will be worshipped as God himself, and all the world wondered after the beast? And if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. And except those days, when this character shows up, had been shortened, there'd be no flesh saved. He's on his way. I got an idea. He's waiting in the wings. He's being groomed somewhere as I speak. History is rapidly drawing down to a conclusion. A great conclusion. But there's another seed mentioned here. Between thy seed and her seed, Mary, your seed, singular. And the devil's seed's only going to bruise his heel, but your seed, Eve, is going to bruise his head. I wonder who's going to get the greatest satisfaction out of seeing him cast into the lake of fire. The men will stand around thinking that justice has been done. But I got an idea that ladies will have a few additional emotions. Now let's go to the book of Luke. Seed. Singular. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, God's messenger, was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now that in itself is interesting. That in itself is interesting. Now, Eve means the mother of all living. But Mary is the New Testament way to say Miriam. It means rebellion. Isn't that interesting? You know, the ladies haven't been taking the situation lying down. Where do you suppose the women's liberation movement came from? They haven't been taking it lying down. There's been rebellion. Be interesting to ask Miriam how it feels to be completely smitten with leprosy in an instant of time. Do you really understand what you've done, Eve? She's getting an idea at this point. Well, here comes the angel to a virgin espoused unto a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored." Only God could love a rebel. You don't suppose there's something of the grace of God in this, that her name was Mary, do you? Our whole race has been in rebellion against God for 6,000 years, and it isn't any different now than it was then. They that be whole need not a physician. I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Mary, do you understand what's going on here? Your first mother didn't understand either. Now she didn't understand. There was a lot that Mary didn't understand. But in a while, we'll get to the upper room. And we'll get to the cross of Jesus. It began to dawn on her. She began to understand. This lady who was named Rebel. Verse number 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Huh? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. I wonder why she found favor with God. Just because she was of the house and lineage of David. Now, there were a lot of ladies in those days that were of the house and lineage of David. This one was pretty special. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, singular, and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Looked like it was all lost in the Garden of Eden. Just that little cryptic message. And the Lord God wasn't even really talking to Eve. She was almost a bystander. He's talking to the devil. You're going to bring forth a seed, but guess what? Eve's going to bring forth a seed too. And the difference is going to be, is your seed's only going to bruise the seed of her, or the head, or the heel of his son, or her son, but her son is going to bruise your head. He is going to bust your head. I'll put it a little plainer. You know what's going on here, Mary? No. No, not really. In 33 years, the sword is going to pierce through her heart too. Just like the prophet said in the temple. Sorrow. You'll bring forth children, but this one is different. He's coming to put an end to this. That usurper king that stole away the title deed to the earth and everything that's in it, including your mother Eve, and including all of your ancestors all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and has been running his fiefdom as he pleased, and making merchandise of the children of men. Those days are coming to an end, Mary. Do you understand? I wonder what she was thinking as she stood at the foot of the cross. I wonder what she was thinking when our Lord was 12 years old and said to his mother and father, Wished you not that I must be about my father's business? And the scripture says that Mary kept all those sayings in her heart. None of this stuff passed by. She kept it in her heart. She didn't really understand what it was all about, but she kept it in her heart. Ladies are like that, aren't they? We men sometimes forget our kids' birthdays, but I'll tell you what, no mom ever forgets her eldest son's birthday. Am I right, dads? I wonder why. Verse number 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, singular, a seed, singular, and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And I know this is speaking specifically to Israel. But ladies, have you considered the position that the Lord purchased for you on that cross? Not to have the Lord Jesus to rule and reign over you, but to rule and reign with him as an equal with man, as the bride of Christ. Not just for 1,000 years, but forever and ever. Now, I don't know how long they were in the Garden of Eden before that sad situation we read about in Genesis occurred. Probably not very long, but I can tell you it's a drop in the bucket compared to all eternity. Do you know that the Lord knows about every tear that every lady has ever shed? He knows about the tears that men shed too. But he has an understanding. He knows. And he's purchased a place for you that is so much better than what you had in the Garden of Eden, that there are no words in any human language to express it. Eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard. Neither has it entered into your hearts, ladies, what God has prepared for you. Yes, there's been a long legacy of pain and tears and sorrow, and the world has been out to crush your soul. But don't lose heart. God's prepared a place for you that the angels don't understand. Do you realize that the very angels are all the time trying to look into this matter of salvation, and they can't understand it? It's something personal between us and our God. Think how far greater in intellect they are than we are. The angels that fell will have none of the grace of God. The angels that didn't know nothing of the love of God as you and I know it. Because he's redeemed us as rebels. All of us are Marys, regardless our gender. And he's prepared a place for us that, again, the words of human language can't even express. Did Mary understand? Don't you know, Mom? I got to be about my father's business. What in the world is he talking about? Turn to John chapter 19 and verse number 25. John chapter 19 and verse number 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. I suppose we could spend the next several years discussing the theological implication of three rebels standing at the cross of Jesus. But that's not the point that I want to put across this morning. You know, the Bible says that of all those disciples, from tempestuous sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, to impetuous Peter, I'll go to death with you. Everybody else will forsake you, Lord, but I never will. The scripture says, then all of the disciples forsook him and fled. I'll smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. But you know, the scripture never says that these three women ever departed from the foot of that cross. I'll tell you, they were there when John finally screwed up his courage and managed to slink back. Because Jesus told him, behold your mother. So I know he was there then, but he wasn't always there. It took the heart of a mother to risk sharing the same fate. Can we get it into our hearts what's transpiring here? Think about this. You know, the Roman Catholics, because of the particular view they have of Mary, it's almost driven us fundamental Christians to where we don't even want to talk about her. We don't want to give any credence to their Mariolatry. So we just conveniently tend to forget about Mary, but the scripture doesn't forget her. And our Lord certainly didn't forget her. The last instruction he gave was for John to take care of his mother. Do we understand what was in her heart as she stood at the foot of that cross? You stop and think about what she suffered. And it isn't anything that isn't common to every other woman that's ever been born. Go back to that announcement given Mary by Gabriel. She asked a question. How shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? Can you imagine what was going through her head? What's Joseph going to think? What are the neighbors going to think? You know, we men are pretty much given to the idea that we don't give a rip what the neighbors think. The women do, and it's a good thing they do, because our society wouldn't last long if they didn't. What do you suppose was going through her mind? What do you suppose was going through her mind as all the talk in the village was, psst, psst, psst. Mostly being done by other women, I suspect. What do you suppose Mary thought when those wicked sons of the devils, the scribes and the Pharisees, said to her, son, we be not born of fornication. Abraham's our father. You read over that so lightly? They weren't pointing at Jesus. They were pointing at his mother. They knew the story. The rumors hadn't died out in 33 years. How do you suppose she felt? In sorrow, you'll bring forth children. And then at the foot of the cross, her firstborn son beaten to the place where you could look at his face and only his mother would know who he was. Stripped. Naked. Taken onto a hill that overlooked the city where everybody could behold it. And mocked. But she never left that place. You know, I've noticed that fathers, it seems, can abandon their families without much second thought. But moms, they don't do that. How many single dads do we hear about? No, we always hear about single moms, don't we? I wonder why that is. And they never give up on their kids. They'll be standing right there when the executioner pulls the trap. Maintaining his innocence to the last minute. Not finding fault in their kids, no matter how many tears they shed. We men would take them to the woodshed and beat some sense into them. Women just get to cry. But you know, our Savior turned all that around. Talk about snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. I got an idea that her attitude had undergone some change in the 3 days after she stood at the foot of that cross. Because we find her in the upper room. She's faithful to be there. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And not only that, his brethren are there too. We're told that. The testimony of a faithful mother wins more of their children to Christ than all the Bible stories that Dad ever tells. Moms have real credence in the eyes of their kids. Women have a power. Despite all the sorrow and all the tears, they have a unique power over their children. And ladies, don't be ashamed of it. Exercise it. Use it. Use it for good, not for rebellion. It almost seems like this has been a pretty sad message this morning. Maybe not fitted to Mother's Day, but the idea of it is to give you hope. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when He rose from the dead, conquered death, and the captain of our salvation has been made perfect. And ladies, His mother finally got it. It took Eve a long time to get it. Do you know, Eve, what you've done? Mary, do you understand? No, but she came to understand. Thank the Lord for mothers. Thank the Lord for women. Sometimes they're called the weaker vessel. I'm not sure I believe that. When the real crisis comes, sometimes they're the strength and the underpinning. And ladies, may I just remind you this morning that if you train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he'll not depart from it. When he's old. Not when he's a teenager. But when he's old. Keep that hope. You have more influence on your children, even if they're grown children, than anybody else in the world. How many sailors have you ever seen that have Dad tattooed on their arms? Let's pray. Our Lord, as we've considered this story, Lord, certainly it appeals to our emotions, and Lord, it ought to, for we understand that our ladies in 6,000 years of history have gone through some terrible things. But Lord, you and your wisdom, you and your love, and you and your grace have taken that very vessel of woman and brought our Lord forth out of her. You didn't choose to do it through Adam, but you chose to do it through Eve, and though she was beguiled, Lord, now, you've brought out of her the captain of our salvation and provided salvation for all of our race. Lord, we thank you for the way that you did it. And I pray on this special day that each one of us, especially us men, will consider the scriptures that we've read this morning and let them sink into our hearts too, so that we really will regard women in a different way than maybe we're used to. Dear Lord, thank you for the way that you planned and executed everything. Lord, it's wonderful in our eyes. And I pray that you'll help us to appreciate it more this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.